With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
My guest this week is Royal commentator Richard Fitzwilliams. Richard, welcome to the show.
Good to be on the show again.
Thank you. Now, could I just ask you for your thoughts on some of the events we've seen over the last few days?
I think that it has been a seismic moment for the nation. We thought that the Queen, though of course she had mobility issues and had appeared frail from time to time, had intended to come to Buckingham Palace and receive the new prime minister there, as she had all her previous prime ministers. When we saw the image of her receiving this trust at Balmoral, she did indeed appear unwell, and subsequently, the news has come as a very considerable shock. And a shock, I think, to the whole nation, because she was so much part of its fabric over the last seven decades, a constant in a time of change, it has been said, and someone who with devoted service, as she promised in 1947 in South Africa, she always ensured that constitutionally she did the right thing, and also that she never let her people down, and they loved her dearly. There's no question that the Queen, not only nationally, but also internationally, was someone who had the most, made the most, the strongest impression, I think, on the world. She nurtured the Commonwealth, which without her very well might not be in being, or certainly not in its present form. And also, she was the ultimate diplomat. Her visit, 2011 visit to Ireland, her state visit, I think was, it put the seal on the peace process, and it was of enormous significance the British monarch had for 100 years. And subsequently, there was President Higgins's return state visit in 2014. So this was enormously significant. The Queen leaves the legacy not only, she grew up in an age of deference, so she didn't give an interview to camera, and no one knew her views. And in that sense, there was a certain mystique. And also, she used that, I think, to ensure she was about party politics. That is a very important function of the monarchy. But also, as a person, I had the privilege of meeting her on several occasions. She had charm, she had dignity, she had a wonderful sense of humour. And this, of course, was shown both at the Olympics when she joined, well, when she was guarded by 007, you know, and parachuted into it, or indeed whatever head of state would grant an audience to Paddington.
Of course. Of course. So you mentioned there that you met Her Late Majesty a couple of times. May I ask just for your fondest memory of meeting the late Queen?
The fondest memory was at the Diamond Jubilee reception for the press. That was in 2012, and we were looking at some of the magnificent pictures in Buckingham Palace together for a short period, and that was something that she showed charm, humour, and a wonderful sense of mischief. She was apparently a very good mimic, and indeed, because of someone of enthusiasms, I was at Royal Ascot in 2013 when her horse Estimate won the Gold Cup, its most prestigious race. And this was, in fact, one of the crowning moments of the Queen's career as a racehorse owner. And the footage, which subsequently we saw in the Royal Box, was something that was glorious to behold, because she was one of the world's equine experts.
Absolutely. And in your earlier answer there, you mentioned some of the love that's been shown from the public towards the Queen and to the royal family. And we've seen some incredible scenes over the news channels from the last week, from Scottish tractors forming a guard of honour as the Queen was carried from Balmoral to Edinburgh, to cars stopping on motorways and dual carriageway to line the streets as she returned to Buckingham Palace from RAF Northolt for the last time. And even the queue to see Her Late Majesty's coffin lying in state in Westminster Hall seemed to become its own sentient being based on the amount of people in it. I mean, have you been surprised by the public's reaction to Her Late Majesty's death?
I think that she was so much a part of all our lives for such a long period, and she performed her duties so superbly and so impartially. And she also had empathy, and she showed that most particularly, I'm thinking of the pandemic and that broadcast where she quoted Britain's wartime forces sweetheart, Dame Vera Lynn, telling the country who were deeply concerned, "We will meet again." In that sense, I always knew that the British people held the Queen close to their hearts, and it has not surprised me that there has been this outpouring of feeling, especially since this was, although obviously inevitable, it was unexpected.
Absolutely. And as part of this period of mourning that the nation's now in, the new king and the Queen Consort have been undertaking a tour of the nation's capitals, which concludes on Friday in Cardiff. Why is this tour so important for the new king and queen to take?
Well, it is very significant indeed, because Britain could conceivably break up if there's a strong Scottish independence movement. Of course, there were the referendum in 2014, and the Scottish National Party leader Nicola Sturgeon wants to hold another one. Northern Ireland is something of a crossroads, as a political stalemate, its future's uncertain. So as a symbol of national unity, it's absolutely pivotal that the other nations, as well as England, that make up the United Kingdom, are involved. And of course, because the Queen passed in Scotland, so the Scottish people were involved in the rituals, which I think was extremely significant, and something the Queen, who loved Scotland, in fact, her mother was, her parents were Scottish, the Earl and Countess of Strathmore, something I think that she would have approved of.
Yeah, and the accession process as well for the new king has been made much more accessible than ever before. And that's mostly due to the technological advancements that have taken place throughout the Queen's 70-year reign. However, the event of this period of mourning, which really stood out to me, was the televising of the Accession Council last Saturday. Now, why do you think this was such a momentous occasion?
No Accession Council meeting had ever previously been televised, but also this gave an opportunity, and then this was very, very significant, to see how the process whereby a new king is chosen, of course, they succeed automatically, is one of the benefits, and this is, of course, a debated point, but in my opinion, of a hereditary monarchy, that you know who's going to be the successor, and that successor is above party political machinations, which is, I think, important. But that we saw what happened in the Accession Council, it was one example, just as we'd seen in the walkabout in front of the palace, that the new king and queen consort, of course, are looking very carefully at how they can project an image to the public, which gives them or gives the public a feeling of being involved somewhat more. After all, the Queen ascended the throne in 1952. The glittering coronation that followed in June, albeit not in weather that anyone would have predicted, was probably the most magnificent royal spectacle ever. There was debate then over whether it should be televised. Undoubtedly, Britain is the last major European country to have a coronation, and expect the maximum to be made of the possibilities when King Charles comes to be crowned. But it is very important, equally, I think, that at the moment, that it is a tremendous schedule that he's having to undergo, and I suspect very strongly that he, looking at the way that he's handled it. I think it's been extremely good. There have been a glitch or two, especially when it comes to writing materials, but the facts are the royal family are grieving as a family, but they're having to do so in public in circumstances that involve a tremendous amount of physicality, certainly in the case of King Charles. And there is no question that these trips to different parts of the Union and the way other members of the royal family are visiting, whether it's the Prince and Princess of Wales at Sandringham or various other members, different parts of the country, it's significant because it's important that whereas London is the capital and Windsor is where the Queen will lie at rest, that as much of the country as possible feels involved in the momentous events that are unfolding and will conclude with one of the most spectacular funerals ever in human history.
Absolutely. And of course, the Queen's funeral, as you say, will take place on Monday. And you're right to say that this will quite possibly be one of, if not the most spectacular funerals ever held. So what can we expect to happen on the day?
What we expect to happen is that the Queen's coffin will be transported on a gun carriage from Westminster Hall, where it currently rests, to Westminster Abbey. And there will be a service attended by a very large number, perhaps the largest ever outside the United Nations, of heads of state and dignitaries and those who are given invitations for a variety of reasons, whether it was that they won the Victoria or the George Cross or whether they happened to be in the Queen's last birthday honours list. There's, of course, a way that some 2,000 people are expected to pack the Abbey. It will be logistically an immense operation, and the security issues, of course, have been very substantial. Subsequent to that, the coffin will progress up through Whitehall and an area, in fact, where it will be taken to an area that it will be taken by Royal Hearse to Windsor. Now, this will be a most impressive procession because it will also involve members of the royal family, as they did when, so to speak, the royal family surrendered the Queen's coffin from Buckingham Palace, where it rested in the Bow Room, to Westminster Hall to the public so the mourners could come and pay tribute. Here, in that occasion and in this, the king, his siblings, and other members of the royal family will walk behind it. And of course, there will be a full military show. The difference between a state funeral and a ceremonial funeral is that in a state funeral, the coffin is drawn by horses. Ceremonial funeral, the coffin is drawn by horses. In a state funeral, because at Queen Victoria's funeral, the horses panicked and naval ratings stepped in. So what we will see is member of ratings from the Royal Navy pulling the coffin. It'll be on a gun carriage and they'll pull it by ropes. And with members of the royal family behind and also the King's Guard, representatives of the five regiments of foot, with precedence given to the Grenadier Guards, who throughout the ceremony, in point of fact, the 1st Battalion Grenadier Guards is responsible for transporting the coffin from its current resting place in Westminster Hall to the gun carriage, and subsequently from the gun carriage to Westminster Abbey nearby. The Grenadier Guards are, in point of fact, go back to Queen's Link to the Grenadier Guards that go back to 1942, where King George VI, her father, from whom she imbibed, I think, the feeling that she's always had, the dedication to duty, made her colonel, and she carried out an inspection, and that was her first royal engagement.
Wow.
And from the area of Hyde Park, the royal hearse will take the coffin to Windsor, and subsequently there will be another service. There will be a procession of service. It will be received, and also it will eventually, in the George VI Memorial Chapel, will join her mother and father, will join her parents and her sister, and also the Duke of Edinburgh's coffin will join hers.
Well, thank you for that very thorough overview of what we can expect to happen on Monday. And for the funeral service itself, you're right to point out that this is going to be a huge security and logistical operation for the royal household and for the police to carry out, because there are going to be so many world leaders there. We know that US President Joe Biden, French President Emmanuel Macron will be there. Which other very senior and significant world leaders can we expect to be in attendance at the service?
Well, firstly, I'd mention that King Charles is giving a reception for them at Buckingham Palace on Sunday night. We certainly expect President Biden, also President Macron, and we have no list at the moment, but suffice it to say what we do know are the regimes that have not been invited. That involves Russia, Belarus, and Myanmar. Also, since there is no diplomatic relations with Venezuela and with Syria, and there are three countries, including North Korea, that have been asked to send ambassadors. Also, Venezuela won't be invited. But essentially, invitations have gone out to world leaders. How this is handled and how they arrive, I mean, that there's talk of buses. It's a huge logistical operation. It has been compared to 200 state visits happening at the same time. Wow. And a state visit itself is quite an extraordinary event and very colourful. And what you will expect to see during the ceremony is a fantastic show of the pomp and pageantry, the ability to do ceremonial with precision that the British are absolutely brilliant at. But there will also be personal touches throughout the service, which will be linked with the Queen and no doubt with Prince Philip, because it must be remembered their 73-year-old partnership was part and parcel of the reason for her enormous success. Such opposites in temperament. She was conservative and shy and cautious. He was dynamic and experimental and sometimes abrasive, but it was the fact they joined their talents so superbly that both the monarchy and the country benefited.
Absolutely. Well, I'd like to move on slightly and perhaps look more towards the future, try to be more optimistic and look at what the future of the monarchy might hold. And just so far, how do you think King Charles is doing in his new role as head of state and, of course, head of the family?
So far, of course, he's had an amazingly hectic schedule and carried it out spectacularly well, bar a glitch or two. And remember, the royal family are a family in mourning as well.
Of course.
And the significance, of course, of his accession speech was tremendous. Firstly, he said he was inspired by his mother's example, her oath in her promise to serve in 1947. In fact, she carried it through, and also her speech inspired his accession speech. And indeed, but of course, every monarch has their own individual style. What was very significant is that he certainly has no plans. It wouldn't be part of the job to be any form of an activist monarch. That came through. That is a point that is of enormous importance, because if he ever attempts that, there would be undoubtedly difficulties. Also, his views, once that he's defender of faith, he will be defender of the faith, supreme governor of the Church of England. The Queen was deeply religious. It's a secular age, but even so, has symbolic importance. Church of England acting as an umbrella under which other faiths can flourish. There's no doubt at all that in extending love to Harry and Meghan, because the monarchy has suffered a lot, especially among young people since they stepped down. There's no doubt at all that subsequently seeing them and Prince and Princess of Wales at Windsor, I think that was an important step forward. We understand that Harry will be participating in a vigil. That too is of importance, but let us see where that goes, because there are difficulties, as there have been, with the Sussexes, and certainly since the Oprah interview. A lot does depend. King Charles takes over at 73. Queen Consort is 75. Obviously, the future of the monarchy lies in the hands of the Prince and Princess of Wales and their family. But it's the nature of a hereditary monarchy that the transition happens in this way. And there's also no doubt at all that his work for charity and the work he's created as Prince of Wales, his trust, his environmental work, this is very precious. Equally, we do know his views. Times alter, and of course the Queen had the advantage. Nobody knew what she thought of a royal portrait, or they didn't know what she thought of anything other than her equestrian enthusiasm. She never hid those. But so far as King Charles is concerned, it is very different. The public will recognise it's very different, and he will have the advantage of being supported by his Queen consort, and they are a perfect match.
And it isn't just Charles who's new to his job, but also the Prime Minister, Liz Truss, who was appointed just 2 days before Her Late Majesty died. How do you think she's done at this time?
It's very difficult to judge, because everything has been occurring at an extraordinary rate. And indeed, in that morning, where we learned of the Queen's passing in the afternoon, was a period where she had hoped to get across a policy dealing with how people would be assisted given the crisis in the cost of living, especially the rise in energy costs. There's no doubt that it's a very difficult period to judge a politician because the focus has not been on her, nor should it be. After all, the last act the Queen performed was receiving her in audience, something she'd hoped to do in Buckingham Palace.
And when the Queen ascended the throne, her first Prime Minister was, of course, Sir Winston Churchill, who'd been in office for 6 years across two terms. So she had a wealth of experience to rely on, as well as having a good and strong relationship with him prior to ascending the throne. Given that both are new to their jobs, what sort of dynamic do you think will be developing between King Charles and Liz Truss?
It will be interesting to watch that. It's impossible to be precise on this, because clearly the weekly audiences with the Prime Minister that the King has will be of the greatest importance. But equally, he will have to ensure that he does not allow his personal views, of which he has many and they are strong, to intrude into other business. There's little doubt that Liz Truss, too, has to feel her way, because she's fought quite a bitterly fought election for leadership of the Conservative Party. And she's also become Prime Minister after Boris Johnson stepped down in circumstances that were most unenviable. So it's a curious period in Britain's history with a very large number of problems, and there are those who will miss the Queen's sure touch and especially her ability to communicate in a way that was so unique.
Absolutely. And we've heard a lot in various news reports over the last few months and years even, that the King Charles wants to have a more slimmed down monarchy. So what do you think that might look like, and how do you think the monarchy we see today will begin to change?
The monarchy may change with reference to the way different homes and palaces are used in one way, but so far as a slimmed down monarchy, we know that as a phrase. In fact, it is slimmed down with the Sussexes having stepped down, with Andrew performing no more royal duties, nor will he. The facts are that until the Prince and Princess of Wales's children are able to perform royal duties, there will be far, far fewer royals to perform them. And certain, some like the Gloucesters and the Kents, are no longer young, nor is the Princess Royal, in fact. Or, of course, the King and Queen consort. So one is looking at probably fewer patronages and the like. There are 3,000 at the moment that the royals are attached to. The Duke of Edinburgh was attached to over 800 at one time, and 750 when he died. The Queen over 500, and I think when Prince of Wales, King Charles had, well, when Prince of Wales, he had something over 400. This is obviously altering, but equally, charities gain an enormous amount from their royal links.
Prince William and his wife Catherine were created Prince and Princess of Wales by the King in his televised address. Now, Charles made the role of Prince of Wales his own, having served in it for so long. But how do you think William and Catherine will define that role and make it their own?
I think, firstly, they will continue their charitable work here and with the Earthshot Prize, issues such as mental health, illegal trade in wildlife parts and so forth, and she with her concentration on the work for the under-fives, the way they're bringing up their family and ensuring they have the privacy they want. Also, William is a consummate diplomat. We saw that in his visit to Israel and the occupied Palestinian territory. So I think that their good work will continue, and they're enormously popular. They combine the formal and the informal on overseas tours, and also she is extremely glamorous and a fashion icon.
Absolutely. And finally then, to finish, you mentioned it in your first answer briefly, but I'd like to ask you some more specifically. What do you think the late Queen's legacy will be?
The Queen's legacy will be that of someone who showed total devotion to duty. It will be the way she nurtured the Commonwealth, and it will also be as a consummate diplomat. It will be as someone who, as sovereign, as mother, and as someone who was also able to communicate virtually too in recent period, and make her subjects feel her empathy. I think that her predecessor, Elizabeth I, in her golden speech said, "Though God hath raised me high, I count the glory of my throne that I have reigned with your love." Love is what the Queen's subjects here in the Commonwealth and also her admirers in the wider world feel for her.
Absolutely. Richard Fitzwilliams, thank you very much for coming back on the show.
Thank you.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.